Morning, everyone. Today's daf in the Nedarim is Nun Tes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lanazicha Nishmas Lipa Gavriela Bashmuel. We find ourselves today on the back end of Nun Ches Amud Beis, in the middle of a complex discussion within the Gemara. And this discussion, yesterday's Gemara, had really no beginning and no end. And today's Gemara is going to have a little bit more of an end, a little bit more of a conclusion. But let's just quickly recap what is involved in this discussion. And the discussion really takes us all the way back to Nun Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara ponders upon the following question. I have a seed that I put into the ground and it grows. And we're talking about a seed that does not degenerate and does not decompose. So the classic example that we keep pounding on time and again since the beginning of the discussion was, let's say, an onion bulb. So I put the onion bulb in the ground and it's going to create greater growth in the ground. So now the question is a very fundamental question, and that is, how do we view that new growth? Either A, that new growth that grows is panim chadashos, it's just a new entity, and based on whatever the current situation is, that's what's going to be the status of the new growth, or B, the new growth is just merely an extension of the original bulb. So whatever the bulb is, that's what the new growth is going to be. And in the world of agricultural halacha within the Torah, so there are many, many applications of this principle of how to view that new growth of the original seed. This is the discussion that the Gemara started back on in Zayin Amud Beis. It really has very little to do with our Mishnah. The Mishnah made one comment, which we haven't even quoted yet in the discussion, which we're going to be doing later this morning, which is germane to this whole discussion. But the truth of the matter is that really this could be a standalone discussion that could occur, not anywhere in Shas, because we don't cover the agricultural Mishnayos, but really, in other words, anytime there's any reference whatsoever to agricultural halacha, so this question could be raised and could be discussed. It happens to be that this discussion is localized to our Gemara in the seventh parak of Nedarim, Dapim Nun Zayin, Nun Ches, Nun Tes, and even just a little bit of Daf Samech. So a considerable amount of our Masecht is dedicated to this topic. And where do we stand on this issue? So the Gemara introduced us to a machlokas. So let's just once again reintroduce ourselves to the principal participants in this machlokas. So we start with Rabbi Yana. Rabbi Yana, all the way back in Zayin Amud Beis, said that, let's say, for example, I take batzel shel truma, I take an onion of truma, and I put it in the ground, and there's growth. So and the growth increases, is greater than that of the original bulb. So Rabbi Yana said, Bittel, there's going to be nullification. Because Rabbi Yana views the new growth as a totally new entity, even though the original is Truma, but the new growth now is totally new entity. And as a result of that, Rabbi Yana is of the opinion that the new growth is going to come, and as long as it exceeds, it's greater than the original, so then it's going to be Mevatel the original. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yana. Against Rabbi Yana, so we saw Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yonasan, two Amoraim who disagree with Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan gives the example of the Rabbi Yochanan gives the example of grafting, where I take a new tree and graft it onto an old tree. So the new tree meaning it's under 3 years of age, old tree means over 3 years of age. Any fruit that comes off of a tree under the age of three is arla and prohibited to eat and to get benefit from. And even I graft the two together, and now there's an increase in growth. And even if that increase normally would warrant bittel, remember in the world of arla, bittel can only occur after a ratio of 1 to 200, or 200 to 1, 200 of heter versus a 1 of arla. Nevertheless, Rav Yochanan says the new growth is going to be aser. Why? Because Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that the new growth that comes off of the bulb, in this case the grafted tree, is just going to be new iser that's created, new iser that's generated. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Additional to that is Rav Yonasan. Rav Yonasan described how an onion was put into a vineyard. That onion now that was planted into the vineyard is now going to be kalayim, and it's going to be prohibited. I weed out the entire vineyard, and I allow that onion to continue to grow. The halacha is, according to Rav Yonasan, that even after the vineyard has been removed, and even after there's new growth, still that new growth is coming off of the bulb, which is aser through kalaya kerem, and therefore Rav Yonasan said that new growth is going to be aser. And it doesn't matter how much new growth it is, it's going to be new growth built on the based off the old bulb, and therefore it's going to be aser. So if we could just line up our shitas, we had the whole discussion where Rav Yana is of the opinion that new growth is a new entity, and Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan are of the opinion that new growth is considered but merely an extension of the original, and therefore if the original is usher, then the new growth is going to be usher as well. That is a setup of the discussion that we've had up until now. The Gemara on Nun Chesam and Beis, got to skip a little bit, we're just reviewing. So the Gemara on Nun Chesam and Beis posed a question towards these last two opinions, and that is based on the following. So the Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah describes, it's actually Tosefta in Shumos, but the Tosefta describes how if I take a onion and I put it in the ground, if I take an onion from the Shemitah year and I replant that bulb in the ground during the eighth year, so it's going to be fine, it's going to be mutter. So you see that the new growth that grows, because it did not grow during the seventh year, but it grew during the eighth year, so it's going to be mutter, and that poses a difficulty to the opinions of Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan, who are both of the opinion that no, new growth is but merely an extension of the original. To which the Gemara said, and this is where we ended off yesterday, that maybe in defense of Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan, we can say the following. Generally speaking, within the world of agriculture and agricultural halacha, so generally speaking, their position is that new growth is considered but merely an extension of the original. The difference would be in the world of Shemitah. Shemitah is a fundamentally different type of agricultural halacha, different than Kalaya Karen, different than Arla, and as a result of that, because it's different for reasons what I'm about to articulate, therefore the new growth is not viewed as just simply an extension of the root of the original seed. Why should the halacha of Shemitah be different? So the Gemara, I'm going to quote the language of the Gemara that we saw at the end of yesterday's daf. When it comes to Shemitah, it is rooted in the ground. Literally, rooted in the ground. The Isser comes as a result of the ground, and the Bittul comes as a result of the ground. That is what the Gemara proposes, is the fundamental difference to Shemitah over any other agricultural halacha. What did that mean? So I quoted Tosus yesterday, and I'm just going to review Tosus once again. Well, Tosus says that as it relates to Shemitah, I'm reading Tosus in side, and in my Gemara, it is where the lines get wide in Tosfos. It's four lines down. So Tosfos writes, I'm reading now from the fifth line down, Klamar, Shvius heter v'yisuri tala ayyede karka. When it comes to Shvius, everything really is based on the ground. The ena tars gidulim tala b'maisa ha'adam, and it's not really based on human input. Now, obviously, I mean, even within Tosfos, obviously, you know how it works. You put the seed in the ground. That's human input. That's human endeavor. But in other words, the Isser is not based on that. The Isser is just simply a function of was in the ground during the Shemitah year or was it not in the ground during the Shemitah year. Dechi as yashminis, so heim heter. In other words, it's just a function of being in the ground and what year it is. That is Shemitah. However, but when it comes to, Tosfos gives the example of grafting the tree. Grafting a tree, that's obviously human input. In other words, you took a branch from a sapling and you grafted it onto an older tree, that's human input. So I had to tell it b'maisa ha'adam. So that's based on human endeavor. She'sevcha v'damilam avatal isa b'tchila. Aval shvias mimeila mishtarin gidulav lemote shvias. When it comes to Shemitah, on the other hand, it's mimeila, it's automatic, it's all really a function of the ground. Okay, so the, and Tosfos goes on to say, and the same thing is true with Rabbi Yonasan's halacha. When I take the onion and I put it in the vineyard, so once again, that's human endeavor that created that prohibition. It's not just simply a function of the ground. Okay, Adkan, that is Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara. So therefore, we're defending Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan. When you have new growth is generally viewed as an extension of the ikar, it's an extension of the root, of the seed, of the sapling. However, in the world of Shemitah, we can make a distinction. In the world of Shemitah, we could say that any new growth is going to be deemed just simply a function of what year it is. If it was the seventh year, new growth is treated like Shemitah. If it was the eighth year, new growth is viewed as non-Shemitah, period. That's what we got up to yesterday. We're going to continue in the Gemara. We're on Nun Ches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, Hare Meiser. So the Gemara now is challenging this principle that the Gemara just laid out, that when it comes to agricultural law, that does not involve human endeavor, human input. So Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan are going to concede. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "Hare Meiser Yisro Ayide Karka." So the Gemara says, "Let's consider Meiser. Meiser is an agricultural halacha, which right now the Gemara is saying, and you can already hear by my tone that we're going to change on this point. But right now the Gemara is saying that it has nothing to do with human endeavor. The Ein Betelaso Ayide Karka Detanya." And the Gemara says, "And meanwhile, consider the following." Whether it's a brisa, Litra Meiser Tevel Shazar Bekarka. Okay, this is a little bit complicated. It's not too bad, but a little bit complicated. So let's say I have Litra just simply is amount of Meiser Tevel. That's confusing. It's Meiser and it's Tevel. Well, how could it be both Meiser and Tevel? The answer to that question goes as follows. We know that when it comes to produce, right, grapes, olives, the five grains, and according to the Rambam, all fruit, when it comes to produce, so what you do is that after the farmer collects all the produce and brings it into his farm and measures how much he has, so the first 2% is given to the Kohen, that's what's called Truma Gedola. The next 10% is given to the Levi, that's what's called Meiser Rishon. The Levi then in turn, so he's holding the Meiser in his hand, that was the portion that was given to him. From the Levi's perspective, it's still Tevel. Even though he's the recipient of the Meiser Rishon, that which he received is still Tevel. What does the Levi need to do? He needs to take off 10% of what he received and give that to the Kohen. That's what's called Trumas Meiser. So, how is it that we're talking about Meiser Tevel? So based on what I just said, it's simple. In other words, we're talking about the Levi receiving his Meiser, but not yet removing the 10% to give to the Kohen. So even though he's a recipient of Meiser, so what he's holding is Meiser, at the same time it's also Tevel. It's Tevel because he didn't give 10% yet to the Kohen. So Meiser Tevel Shazar Bekarka. So what did he do? So he took it and he put it in the ground. Vihish Bicha. And now it improves, meaning it grows, va'arei ke'esa litra, and now it is 10 times the amount, okay, considerable growth, chayeves b'meiser uvishvias. So on one hand, it's going to be obligated in meiser, and it's also going to be subject to the rules of Shemitah. V'oso litra meiser ala mimakom acher and lefi cheshbon. And furthermore, that original litra, you're going to have to take off meiser off of that original litra, but you're going to have to take it off from a different different produce, meaning that you can't use this particular produce. You have to take it off from a different produce. I mean, that's a technical issue. That's just simply because from this produce, you don't know what was the original, what's the new growth. So therefore, just to make sure that you're doing the mitzvah correctly, so therefore you have to take it off of different produce. What did we just learn from all this? That we are discussing now... We're discussing Meiser, that you put back into the ground. And because you put it back into the ground, and it grew, so we said that if it's an agricultural halacha, so then what's going to end up happening, and it does not involve human input and human endeavor, the Gemara said that according to Rav Yochanan and according to Rav Yonasan, they're going to agree that if it's just strictly an agricultural halacha, any of the new growth is going to be connected to the year in which it's in, and the old growth is just going to be that. It's just simply going to be old. And meanwhile, over here, the Gemara says that the old growth is still going to be there and it's still going to be intact. And it sounds a little bit difficult. Not a little bit. It sounds difficult because this is Meiser. It's an agricultural halacha, not human endeavored based. And why isn't it the case that when I took the Meiser and I put it in the ground and now there's growth and there's exceedingly large growth, why don't we make the argument that the new growth is going to be Mevatel, is going to nullify that which is old? So the Gemara's answer to that is as follows. We're on the top now in Nuntesimut Aleph. Amri Meiser Digun Hu Tegagarim Lei. So the Gemara says we're going to change our original assumption. And that is, we thought that when it comes to Meiser, there's no human-based intervention when it comes to Meiser. The Gemara says that's not true. It's not correct. When it comes to Meiser, it is human-based. Because, yes, it's true. Meiser is dependent on the year that I put into the ground. Meaning, if I put into the ground during the non-Shemitah year, meaning years 1 through 6, subject to Trumas and Meisers. If I put in the ground year 7, so then it's not subject to Trumas and Meisers. All that's true. However, when it comes to Meiser, it is also based on human intervention, because we know that produce is not obligated in Meiser until Digun, until I take the pile, collect it, measure it, then and only, in other words, production. only at the point of Gemar Malacha, then and only then is the produce going to be subject to the halachas of Trumas and Maitzos. So Trumas and Maitzos are not just simply a function of the ground. There is Maisa Adam, there is human intervention involved in Maiser, and so therefore Rav Yochanan Rav Yonasan would argue then, good, so you see that any time that you have an agricultural halacha that requires human intervention, so then the new growth that grows is going to be merely viewed as an extension of the old. Period. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the discussion. We defended Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan and their positions. Masiv Rami Bar Chama, the Gemara now is going to challenge once again. Now, this challenge, as the Ron points out now, is going to be good direct in the direction of Rabbi Yannai. Remember, Rabbi Yannai says that anytime you have new growth, that new growth is considered a new entity. Again, the two prominent positions are, starting from the beginning of the whole sugya, Rav Yannai that says new growth is considered a new entity. Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan says that new growth is considered an extension of the old, of the original, and now we're going to see a Mishnah. And this is why the entire discussion comes up now in our Gemara, because we're going to be quoting our Mishnah. What our Mishnah teaches us? Konim Perisai Elu Alai, Konim Heim Alpi, Konim Heim Lefi. So the Mishnah describes how these fruit are going to be usher to me. And remember, Ha'elu, that was the key word according to the Ran, which means now what? That these fruit, to the exclusion of other fruit, these fruit are going to be also to me, also bechilufem of begidulayhem. So we learned in our Mishnah that these fruit are going to be also, exchanges for these fruit are going to be also, and if I take these fruit and I put in the ground, the growth is going to be also as well. Okay, that's what we learned back in our Mishnah. And then the Mishnah continued. And if the person says that I'm only not going to taste this fruit or I'm not going to drink this fruit, so then he would be permitted. Exchanges and growth are going to be permitted because his neder was only going on eating this fruit. And that's only true if the seed in question deteriorates and disintegrates. However, if we're talking about the seed of the fruit that doesn't deteriorate. So let's say his netter is going on onions. And again, the bulb of that onion does not deteriorate. And he takes the bulb and he puts it in the ground. Afilu gidule gidulin asurin. Not only is the growth going to be asur, but the growth of the growth is going to be asur as well. Period. Adkan divrei ha-mishnah. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. Now, according to Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan, perfect. Exactly. Exactly what you expected the Mishnah to teach us. That as long as the bulb is still intact, and there's any new growth that grows on top of the bulb, so Rav Yochanan, Rav Yonasan says, good. That is going to be just merely an extension of the original. So Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan are perfectly comfortable and happy with our Mishnah. Now we turn to Rabbi Yannai. What's Rabbi Yannai going to do with our Mishnah? Rav Yannai says that any new growth, even on a seed that's still in existence, any new growth is going to be just that. It's going to be new. It's going to be a new entity. And therefore, it should not be covered under your neder. That's the question that the Gemara is posing now to Rabbi Yannai. Am Rabbi Abba Shani Konamatol V'Ibai Michal Alay Havalo Kedavish Eshlo Matirein V'Ein Bata Barov. So the Gemara now proposes an answer in defense of Rabbi Yannai. Maybe the Konamos, maybe the neder is going to be different. Why? Because we know that when it comes to a neder, you shouldn't have made the neder to begin with. Like we've said since day one of the Masechta, right? There's a world of Nedarim which you shouldn't get into, but the Torah, you know, the Torah makes an allowance for the person to make a neder. Once you made the neder, now you're in it. You should get out of it. So you should go to a chacham. You should try to get out of your neder. And so, what does this fall under the category of? A davar sheyesh lo matirin. So now we're talking about something where it's going to become mutter. Now it's not super automatic. It's going to become mutter. You have to go to a chacham and you have to ask him a question. I made the neder. Now I'd like release from the neder. Can you help me get release from the neder? But still, because you need to do that, it's the Gemara views it as a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So, huh? And we know that any time something falls under the category of davar sheyesh lo matirin, so it's bittul blocked. So the chachamim blocked bittul. So in defense of Rav Yannai, what we're going to say is as follows: the new growth is new. It doesn't fall under the category of your neder. The problem is that the seed is still in existence, and because the seed is still in existence, that original seed is going to be asur, and even though there's a tarovus, even though there's a mixture, and even if the preponderance of the new growth exceeds the original, still davisheshal matirin, and because it's something which will become permitted, so therefore there's not going to be bittul. Now remember, we've said already a number of times, but it bears repeating. Why should that be? Why did the chachamim block bittul? So Rashi Beitza says because acheochlena be it's a tochlena beheter. Because look, right now you have an option. You can eat it right now where there's a tara over there's a mixture, and even though the Torah says that the minority becomes nullified in the majority, but why do that? In other words, let's wait. Because once you ask a she'ela, and once that little bit becomes mutter, so instead of eating it now through the method of bittul, let's not do that. Let's wait until everything becomes mutter. So achi ochlena be'isr tochlena beheter. That's the argument that Rashi gives back in Beitza in terms of why that should be. Again, just as I mentioned it briefly, the Ran back in Nundays gave a lengthier, more detailed explanation of how exactly why it is that the chacham and block bittul has to do with min bimino, the two things become comparable to one another. Okay, see the Ran back on Nunbeis. Anyway, so this is what the Gemara is arguing now in defense of Rabbi Yannai. This is a davisheish lamatirin, and there's no bittul barov. Okay, the Hare Truma, the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but let's see if that answer holds true in other areas. So let's take a look at Truma. So the Gemara says, now when it comes to Truma, so you know that you can get out of Truma. Now this is a funny discussion, meaning we getting out of a neder, that is something that we have and will continue to discuss until the end of the Masechta. A person goes to a Chacham and gets out of a neder. Did you know that you can also get out of Truma as well? That means as follows. If you separated Truma and then afterwards you regret it. Now regretting separating Truma is a funny thing, because what you did is a mitzvah. You did a good thing. As opposed to a neder, what you did was not a good thing. But when it comes to separating Truma, you did a good thing. But for whatever reason, you regret it, you can go to a chacham and ask to be released from that truma, which means that truma is undoable. Is there going to be a point of no return? In a moment, we're going to be discussing that. But truma is, in fact, undoable. Just a practical halacha. In other words, I know we're speaking very conceptually in these Gemaras.
It could reverse back to Tevel.
Practically speaking, I'll tell you when this becomes useful information, and that's going to be if, let's say, for example, this happens, right, a woman's baking challah, so she's mafresh challah, she takes off a portion of challah. Nowadays, we don't give it to the Kohen, we just simply burn it. And what happens is, by accident, so that little bit that she took off as challah, by accident goes back into the dough. And so now you have a tarovis, you have a mixture of challah and what we call challah, but in other words, the bread that we're going to eat on Friday night. So now you have a mixture. So what do you do? So one of the avenues of, in terms of how to deal with that problem, is this idea that you can ask a she'ela on your original hafrasha, which means that it's going to go back to the state of non-chala removed, and then you'll go back and you'll take off chala again.
Is there a
petichah
or is
there
a
charat? Yeah, you ask a chacham. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward issue where, had I known that this would have happened, I regretted it. And I don't know if to say it's charata, because you weren't mischarit from the very beginning. It acts more like a Pesach. Well, yeah, right. Well, first you need a shelas chacham to get you out of the original, and then you're going to take a new piece. Oh, again, let's discuss it. Okay. I'm sorry. I know I raised the issue. Ask me afterwards. I'll discuss more of it. Anyway, did none. And meanwhile, let's go back to our Gemara. Let's see the Gemara inside. So let's say I have one saw of truma, a tamea. Now the Ran points out that we didn't need to introduce the idea that it was tame, and the Ran says it's for an additional chiddush being taught over here. But right now, again, we're just going to focus on the main point the Gemara is trying to illustrate. You have a little bit of truma that falls into less than 100. And of course the point is that because it fell into less than 100, there is no bittul. So what do you do? Tir kav. Let it rot. In other words, you have now a mixture of truma tamea with less than 100 of chulin. So as a result of that, there's nothing you can do. There's no bittul. And And you can't ask, well, we'll get to Sheila in just a moment, so, but there's not going to be Bittul, and as a result of that, you're just going to have to let it rot. And the Gemara notes, and what if it fell into 100? Well, it seems pretty obvious. Halamea Tala. If it falls into 100, there's going to be Bittul. The word Tala is always the word that's used to describe Bittul as it relates to Truma. So there's going to be Bittul. So why should there be Bittul? This is what bothers the Gemara now. That the Braisa says that if it's less than 100, there's no Bittul, which clearly indicates that if it fell into 100, there's going to be Bittul. Truma is something that you can ask a She'ela, and you can get out of the giving of Truma. And because of that, this should fall under the category of a Davishesh Lamatirin. Much like we were arguing just 5 lines ago in the Gemara, that Nedarim is Davishesh Lamatirin because you can get out of your Neder. So if you can get out of your Neder and turn that into a Davishesh Lamatirin, it is a Davishesh Lamatirin. So the same thing should be true by Truma. Truma should also be considered Davishesh Lamatirin because you can get out of it with a She'ela. You can go to a Chamcham. So why isn't Truma viewed as a Davishesh Lamatirin? Okay, that's the question. Let me just finish the question once again. And if it is a Davishesh Lamatirin, it should be never subject to Bittul. Period. And meanwhile, it's pretty clear that Truma is subject to Bittul. That's the question. The Gemara here is going to offer a couple of suggestions. Number one says, the Gemara, Amri, they said, B'truma v'yad kohen askina, maybe over here we're talking about where the Truma has arrived into the hands of the Kohen. And because the Truma has arrived into the hands of the Kohen, and so therefore we have reached, the lo matzal mitzal Allah, where at that point in time we have reached the point of no return. Meaning, remember, I alluded to this point a moment ago, but now the Gemara here is saying it very clearly. Truma gets into the hands of the Kohen, so the Kohen cannot ask a question and undo the Truma that was given. The Ron said,
What is his function in terms of Truma? Like, he didn't designate the Truma, so how could he nullify?
How can he
nullify? If he didn't designate as Truma,
right? It's not a question of whether he can nullify. It's just simply a function of it can become nullified. If it gets mixed up with 100, so it can become nullified. It bothered the Gemara. Why should there be nullification? It's a Davishesh Lamatirin. So right now, proposed answer number one of the Gemara is, it's not a Davishesh Lamatirin because this Kohen has already entered into the hand of the Kohen, and therefore it's not subject to being undone. Once the Truma is given to the Kohen, it cannot be undone. Let's take a look together at the Rush. The Rush makes a comment over here, very interesting one. Truma biyad Kohen de lo matzal mishalai. In my Gemara, it is 4 lines from the bottom of the Rush. 5 lines, actually. Okay, count that. So I know a lot of our editions are different in terms of how the page is formatted, but anyway, I'm reading the Rush. But Truma biyad Kohen de lo matzal mishalai, kevan de yasam rishus Yisrael, once it leaves the possession of the Yisrael, v'kiyam ba mitzvah nesina, and the Yisrael has done his mitzvah of handing it over to the Kohen, su'lo matzil afkoi shem truma mina. So therefore, truma cannot be removed, and the name of truma can no longer be removed. Ayidei she'ela, based on asking a question and saying, I regret having taken off truma. In other words, the mitzvah has been accomplished. We have now reached the point of no return. And because we reached the point of no return, it is truma indefinitely, and therefore, if it gets mixed up with 100, it's subject to bittul. However, okay, good. Adkan, that is the Rush's comment. But then it's interesting. V'harav Rabbi Eliezer mimitz pirish. He quotes Rabbi Elazar mimitz. That is, he's known better by the name of his work, the Sefer Yerayim. He's a student of Rabbeinu Tam. So we're like somewhere around the 13th century. So he explains, Perish Delamati Lamisha Allah, Share Lo Kara Allah, who shame Truma. That the Rav Elazar Mimitz gives an interesting explanation of why it is that the Kohen cannot ask a She'ela. Why can't he undo it? He can't undo it, huh? The Kohen right now can't undo it. The Gemara says the Kohen cannot undo it. So why is that? So the Rush's explanation is because mitzvah's done. The Rav Elazar Mimitz's explanation is a little bit more interesting and has a little bit of ramification. Rav Elazar Mimitz says the reason why he can't undo it is because he's not the one who called the Truma, meaning it was Yisrael who designated it as Truma, And Rav Elazar Meimit says, when the Kohen is a recipient, so he can't undo it because he's not the one who did it. Mashma. So the Akohen Kai. So it's the Rush makes now a comment based on this comment of the Rav Elazar Meimit. And that is, what does it sound like? It certainly sounds like Aval Yisrael Shefrisha Matzim Misha Allah. So it sounds like that based on this, the Kohen can't undo it, but the Yisrael who gave the Truma, he always has a possibility of undoing it. Even after he gave it to, that's correct. That's the Chiddush. Even after he gave it to the Kohen. Vitzarech lamar leperusho. That's why this is interesting. And so what you're going to have to say based on the explanation given by Rav Elazar Meimit, the alpha gav diachol Yisrael lehachzir lechulin, even though there's still somebody who can, so to say, pull the carpet underneath the truma, meaning according to Rav Elazar Meimit, there's still the ability of the Yisrael to undo it. Still, we're going to file this under the category of davar she'ein lo matirin because it's so unusual that the Yisrael is going to do that. But when it's still in the hands of the Yisrael, it's not that unusual that he's going to do it. So really, a fascinating discussion that comes out from this comment of Rav Elazar Meimit, the Sefer Yerayim, and that is that even after the Yisrael hands over the Truma to the Kohen can't ask a She'ela and undo the Truma, but the gifter, the Yisrael, who gave the Truma, still has at least the ability to do so. It's uncommon and unusual that he'll do that, but he still has the ability to do so. Where the Rush seems to totally disagree with that position. The Rush says, no, the reason why the Kohen can't ask a She'ela is because mitzvah's been done. Once the mitzvah's been done, the chapter on this truma now is closed. The book is closed, and therefore cannot be done. It cannot be undone anymore. So, a very interesting debate between the Rush and Rav Elazar Meimit, whether or not even after the delivery of the truma, whether or not you can ask a she'ela on the truma. Correct. Meaning the Kohen ate it, and then I think even then the Sefer Yerayim would say that's it, we're done. We're done. Okay, back to our Gemara. So again, Truma, does it fall under the category of Davi Sheish Lamatirin? The Gemara says it should, because you can ask a Sheila. So answer number one of the Gemara is it's already now in the hands of the Kohen. Good. And according to the Rush, it's easier to understand the Gemara and see the Gemara. Once it's given to the Kohen, mitzvah is done, you can no longer ask a She'ela, and therefore it is no longer Davar Sheish L'Matirin. Period. Back to the Gemara, let's go on. Ihachi. Sorry. Biad Kohen askin and Delamasi Mashallah. Ihachi, right in the middle of the Amud of Nun Testament Aleph. Ema Sefer, the Gemara says, okay, Im Haisa Torah Timaka LaKohen. So the Gemara says, now let's keep going on. If it is Tahara, meaning remember, the case started off with the Truma was Truma Tamea. What if it was Truma Tahara? So you could sell it to the Kohen. So sell it to the Kohen. What are we talking about? If the recipient of it was a Kohen, why in the world would one Kohen be selling it to another Kohen? So the Gemara says, it must be that the case in question over here is where the Yisrael has the Truma, and oddly enough, the Yisrael owns the Truma. Okay, this is, the Gemara deals with this case often, so if you're hearing this for the first time, so just get used to it, because the Gemara talks about this case a lot, and that is, how is it possible, it's good trivia, ask your kids at the Friday night table, how is it possible for a non-Kohen to own Truma? Answer, inherited from his grandfather, right? His grandfather's maternal grandfather was a Kohen, so in the... oddly enough, he dies, and you receive as a Yerusha all of his estate, including his estate, is, if in fact may be, Truma. Right? Let's say Truma oil. Truma oil stays for a long time. And now the grandson is the proud inheritor of this Truma. What in the world is he going to do with it? He can't eat it. It's his maternal grandfather who's a Kohen. Right? His dad and his dad's dad wasn't a Kohen. So what does he do with it? So he sells it on the open market. How's it going to go sell in the open market? Right. Answer is it's not going to sell that well in the open market, because this is simple law, supply and demand. Why would I buy something that I can get for free? Okay, good. So the market value of this truma is not going to be that high, but at least we can now entertain the discussion of a Yisrael owning truma he inherited from his maternal grandfather. So the Gemara says, okay, that's what we're talking about over here. V'haktani seifa timaka l'kohen chutz midmei oso sa'a. So the Gemara says, okay, but it says at the end of this brisa, sell it to the Kohen, except with exclusion to that sa'a, that one sa'a that fell in. So the Gemara says that one sa'a that fell in is still going to have the truma, its truma status. So now, the question on the tables is follows.
What's going to happen to this that's behind?
That no, in other words, he can't charge for that bit of truma. Okay, so the question on the table is as follows: is truma davar sheyesh lo matirin? Yes or no? So the Gemara says, well, on one hand, it does seem to be a davar sheyesh lo matirin because you can ask a she'ela. So first, the Gemara suggested, well, maybe it was already given to the Kohen, and that's why it's not a davar sheyesh lo matirin. The Gemara says, yeah, but if you read on the Braisa, it's not talking about that because the Braisa is talking about Yisrael's ownership in it. So if it's Yisrael's ownership and it's something where he could ask a she'elan. Then the Gemara says, yeah, but if you keep reading on the Braisa says, you'll sell off all the truma except for the original sell off all the mixture except for the original sa' of truma. So that means that it was not subject to bittul. Why is it not subject to bittul? So the Gemara says, Ela ema bishlama konamos mitzvah lushu la'alaha. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to attack this problem now from a very fundamental angle. And that is the following. Look, when we were in the world of Nedarim, what the Gemara here refers to as Konamos, when we're in the world of Nedarim, it is a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Do you know why? Because you never should have made the Neder to begin with. And now that you're in here and you made the Neder, so now you need to go to a Chacham and you need to get out of the Neder. And it is imperative that you do so. Mitzvah li'itshule aleihem. You are bound to get out of your Neder. Mishum de Rabbi Nassan, based on the comment made by Rabbi Nassan, we saw earlier in the Masechta, Da'am Rabbi Nassan, kolanoda kila banabama. Making a Neder is like building a bama. Building a altar in the backyard of your house, which historically at certain times in Jewish history was okay, but most of the time not okay. And you think you're doing something religious and good, and meanwhile you're not. And if you're Mekayim, and if you stay with a neder, so then you're just adding insult to injury, you're just compounding the issue. It's like now offering something on your bum that you made in your backyard. So,
But there's a mitzvah to make a neder.
There's a mitzvah. There, no. The Torah recognizes the neder, but there's no mitzvah to make the neder. Once you made the neder, so then you got to comply with the neder. But at the same time, you should be getting out of the neder altogether. Meaning, as long as the neder is in force, yes, you're right. Lo yachel devaro. So then you cannot profane your words. In other words, you got to keep what you said. But at the same time, your job right now is somehow, go to a chacham and get out of that neder. So the Gemara says, good. So that's when it comes to a neder. It's a davar sheyesh lo matirin because once you're there in the neder, get out. Try your best to get out of it. It's an imperative to do so. It's a davar sheyesh lo matirin because your objective is not to be here in this neder. Truma, my mitzvah lechu elaha. But when it comes to truma, it's just the opposite. You set aside truma, you did a good thing. You shouldn't be getting out of it. In other words, there's no imperative to get out of the truma that you set aside. Yes, there's an avenue, but that's an avenue you shouldn't take. Don't go down that avenue. You set aside truma, you did a good thing. Keep it. Leave it that way. So, in other words, basically what we're doing is we're really clarifying what is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Yes, a neder I can get out of. Yes, truma I can get out of. But you look at the imperatives. When it comes to a neder, the imperative is you should try to get out of it. Davar sheyesh lo matirin. That's why it's something which will become mutter. Because the Torah is telling you, the hashkafas haTorah is, you need to get out of it. Truma, on the other hand, yes, you could get out of it, but don't get out of it. You did the right thing by setting aside truma. So therefore, it's a davar she'ein lo matirin. Because even though there is an avenue you can take to get out of it, don't go down that avenue. The Gemara goes back to a statement made by Rav Yochanan. I have onion. I was misakein. I corrected it, meaning I took off trumas and maisos, and I put it back in the ground. Mitaser lefi kulam. So I had to take maiser based on the entirety of the growth. Yosef Rabba the Kamalash Maita Rabba now is reviewing the statement by Rav Yochanan. Amalei Rav Chista Manchas Lachal Rav Yochanan Rav Cham. Rav Chista cannot believe what he's hearing. Who's going to listen to you? Who's going to listen to Rav Yochanan, your Rebbe? I know it's a sharp way to talk, but okay, we've heard this before. Hetesh shebehem lahechan halach. Meaning, let's think about this. I took an onion. In other words, originally when I plucked it off the ground, took off trumas and maaseros. The onion now is mitukan. It's fixed. It's corrected. It's good. I could take a bite into this onion. Okay. Then I put it back into the ground, and new growth grows. Now again, according to Rav Yochanan, we understand. The new growth is, according to Rav Yochanan, an extension of that which it was. Okay, but again, as we pointed out earlier, we're going to be machmir, and we're going to say that the new growth is going to require to take off trumas and maestros. But Rav Yochanan actually went one step further. Rav Yochanan says, not only going to have to take off trumas and maestros off the new growth, but even on the original as well. And like I said yesterday, and I'm going to say it again now, it's like getting taxed twice on the same income, right? You want to pay your taxes, it's a mitzvah to do so. It's good. It's the right thing to do. You want to pay taxes twice on your income? That's not a mitzvah, and that's, you know, it's unreasonable. Over here, that's exactly what bothers That's exactly what bothers Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, I don't understand. On the original bulb, you already took off trumas and maestros. And now you're going to take the original bulb. On the new growth, fine. I'll hear that. I'll accept that. But on the original bulb, you want me to take off trumas and maestros again? So that's what that's his reaction. Rav Yochanan Rabcha. Who's going to listen to you? Heter shebehem leichen halach. Where did the heter go? Meaning it's the original bulb. So Amarle Milo Tanan de Chavasei. So he says, okay, but in defense, I'm going to quote the following. B'salm sheyardu aleim geshamim v'tzimchu. Remember, we saw this earlier. We saw this yesterday. We have onions, where the onions were planted and grew in the sixth year, took them out of the ground, replanted them in the seventh year. I know you're not allowed to, but just stay with me. Replanted them in the seventh year, and rain grew on it, and it grew. If the leaves are black, then it's going to be aser. But if the leaves are still green, it's going to be mutter. And again, black leaves, green leaves, they're just simply a function. It's a simon as to whether or not there's new growth or there's not new growth. Black leaves is a simon that there's new growth. So that means that it grew. So it grew during the Shemitah year. So now you have produce of the Shemitah year, which has rules and restrictions and regulations. Now again, let's ask the question. I understand the new growth is specific to the Shemitah year. Good. I got it. But the original bulb, the original onion bulb, that was a six-year product. And now you're going to tell me that it's subject to Shemitah? What is that? So Amalei Mitzvah Asal Iker Katani Atosefes Katani Asurin. So the Gemara says, well, I will say to you that, okay, I'm with you. But but when we're saying that it's subject to the Isser of Shemitah, I'm only talking about the new growth. I'm not talking about the original. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's keep going. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Hagadah b'chiyav chayav, Hagadah b'pater pater. So the Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that which grew during the year of Chiyuv is Chayuv, that which grew during the year of Patur is Patur, meaning everything is going to be credited towards when the year it grew. So Tanakama, I'm sorry, and what bothers the Gemara now is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel fits in beautifully to what we're saying, but isn't he arguing with the Tanakama? Meaning, isn't the Tanakama's position that the entire thing is subject to the laws of Shemitah, even the original? that grew during the 6 year. So the Gemara says Tana Kama Nami Hachi Amar Kula Masnitzim Reb Shimon Gamliel Ketanila. So the Gemara says, okay, the entire brisa from beginning to end is Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Ad Kan Lo Shamat Le Reb Shimon Gamliel De Lo Katarach Ava Hecha De Katarach Bato Beruba. So the Gemara says, okay, but even within the construct of Reb Shimon Gamliel, again, Reb Shimon Gamliel tells us that it, really it's all a function of what year it grew in. Anything that grew during the 6 year is not Shemitah and not subject to Shemitah. I take that bulb and I put it back in the ground the 7th year. So any new growth is subject to Shemitah. The Gemara says, good. That's wonderful. And the Gemara says, but then the Gemara makes an exception to this rule. Okay, we're going to pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to finish the entire run on sentence, so to say, of the Gemara. Okay, let's quickly recap and review what we saw today, and then we'll pick it up again tomorrow. Okay, again, the continuation discussion of how to view new growth. Is new growth considered an extension of the original bulb, or is not considered an extension of the original bulb? Rav Yochanan and Rav Yonasan are both of the opinion that it's an extension of the original bulb. Rabbi Yanai says no, that new growth is just that, it's considered new growth. We saw again at the beginning of today's shiur, a distinction made between the halachas of Shemitah versus all the other agricultural laws. The halachas of Shemitah, everyone's going to agree, because it's just simply a function of the land, so therefore new growth is going to be determinant only by the year that it's found in the land. Good. The Gemara today dealt with a very basic issue, and that is, how do we view Nedarim? How do we view Truma? Nedarim is a davar sheyesh lamatirin. Truma is a davar sheein lamatirin. Why is that a fundamental distinction? So one suggestion made by the Gemara is, well, maybe you're talking about Truma after it went into the hands of the Kohen. Because once it went into the hands of the Kohen, so that's it. You can't undo the Truma. And we saw then an interesting discussion in the Rush, a debate between the Rush and Rav Elazar Mimitz. The Rush says that once it goes into the hands of the Kohen, no one can undo the Truma. And Rav Elazar Mimitz takes a very interesting approach, and that is that the Kohen can't undo the Truma, but the original Yisrael, in theory, could still undo the Truma, because he's the one who made the Truma, he's the one who can undo it. But then the Gemara says that maybe the distinction between Neder and Truma is more fundamental, and that is that Neder, there's an imperative to get out of your Neder, so therefore it's a davar sheyesh lamatirin. Truma, you did the right thing by taking off Truma, so therefore you should not be asking a she'ela, and therefore it's a davar she'ein lamatirin. Based on that fundamental difference, now we understand why in the world of Neder, it's a davar she'ein lamatirin, therefore it's never subject to bittul. Bittul's been blocked. On the other hand, when it comes to Truma, Truma is a davar she'ein lamatirin, and therefore it is subject to bittul. And finally, the Gemara goes on to a discussion of the statement made by Rav Yochanan that if I take a bulb and I put the bulb back in the ground, so seemingly Rav Yochanan is saying that the entire bulb is going to be subject to Trumas Amaisros once again, even the original bulb. Why should that be? So the Gemara is in the middle of discussing it, and what the Gemara right now is presenting is an argument that no, the statement of Rav Yochanan is only going on the Tosefis, but not going on the original. I'm going to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We'll finish the discussion of the Gemara, arrive at some conclusions tomorrow in terms of how the halacha sides. And God willing, tomorrow we start the new perek.